Popping bottles, putting supermodels in the cab. Check, 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 check. How's it going? How's it going? How's it going? Hey, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. It's another Tuesday. It's another new week. It's another awesome day. Whenever you're listening to this, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going awesome.
Going pretty freaking awesome.
Awesome like the
news. What's the news?
The news is...
That's right, November 30th. Carolyn and I, Carolyn and Joe... Like this one and only Carolyn and Joe show, for the first time ever, we are going to be speaking live.
This is not the first time ever that we're going to be speaking live.
Well, that's true. That is completely true. We've spoken live many times, but it's a little different situation, right? We have a little
more
thing.
Of like a presentation.
Yeah,
right?
So we have a presentation. A presentation for the ages, I guess. We're going to be speaking at a convention, but not like a comic convention.
It's called the GV Expo.
That's right, the GV Expo in Washington, D.C. at the Washington, D.C. Convention Center, November 30th.
Now, you spoke last year at the show.
I did speak last year at the show. We're going to be taking part of the Final Cut user group meeting, and we're going to be... I guess we're going to be one of the people opening up. We're going to be speaking, you and I. We're going to be speakers, not part of a panel, but we're going to be, you know, like a united front to present our way.
Are we going to take questions or are we just going to be speaking?
No, we're just going to be speaking.
Do we have a time limit?
We have a 15-minute time limit.
15 minutes.
15 minutes to change the world. Carolyn and I, GVE Expo, GV Expo, I believe, Washington, D.C., November 30th, maybe 5 o'clock, 5:30, I forget. We'll give you more information, but it's going to be grand. Like when I first heard that we're going to be speaking there, that we're chosen to speak there, the first thing that came into my mind was the movie Up in the Air. Like that was the first thing that came in my head.
So we should just like bring like our like backpacks and be like, no, you have to put your whole world in a backpack.
I mean, that's one of the first things that's exactly what hit me in the head. It's like, oh, we're going to be like George Clooney Up in the Air. We're going to be like Mr. Backpack. And we're going to do like a motivational speech, like some sort of, you know.
We should just go on like the speech circuit and motivate people.
Like, that's the first thing that happens. Like, because we're not really talking, yeah, we're talking about a comics. Right? Yeah, we're talking about like the movies I make and the stuff we all, you know, everything that we do. But in a way, it's like I didn't want it to be about that. I wanted to give it something because everyone else who's speaking there, oh, that's also what I thought this was going to be. It's going to be a mixture of TED, and it's going to be a mixture of Up in the Air, and like so to prepare myself for this, even though this is already a few weeks away from now, like I watched J.J. Abrams talk on at TED, and I was like, man, because really,
what's in the box?
Yeah, like his like mystery box. Because really, like, that's how I felt. I feel like J.J. Abrams. I feel like we're J.J. Abrams at TED. Now, you know, because TED has, like, these amazing scientists, guys, breakthrough theories and stuff like that. And then, you know, they have, like, these guest people. And that's, and like, then they have J.J. Abrams. Like, those type of guest speakers that will come in there. And they'll talk about what they do, I guess, and motivate or be profound.
Also,
so to
like
speak.
I think that TED also has been doing a lot of shorter speeches because they have like inspirational talks that are only like 3 minutes long. Like seriously, they're 3 minutes. It's amazing though how like impactful people can be in just 3 minutes.
And that's it's really quite amazing. But I feel like that's what this situation is because the speakers that we're surrounded by that I read, it's like, well, we have.
See, I haven't checked the schedule.
Well, it's sort of like we're going to be in the double bill, but there's someone in front of us, but everyone is like introducing or showcasing like a new technology. Like, check out this camera because it's the, you know, it's pretty much the convention is the government video expo, which they show like the newest high technology that's going to be happening, you know. And then here we are showcasing us, you know, and I already talked about what I did last year and I was like, well, let's take to the next level and let's introduce like the team and that's you and I, the Carolyn and Joe show. And you know, everyone else is talking about technology, but this, check out this new camera, check out smoke, you know, the software. So like that's literally what everyone, and then here we are basically going into the game
Do you still have your speech from last year?
The like recording of it?
Yeah, up yeah. somewhere online.
Yeah, it's on my Tumblr, on my goastray.tumblr or whatever, however they want
to
do it.
You should put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. And
for this episode.
I definitely will. But like that's what it is. It's funny because it's like, what are we bringing to the table? Because, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to go out there and talk technology. You know, I could, but like, I don't want to talk technology. I don't want to, you know,
you're tired of technology just like Justin Timberlake.
Yes. You know, and I feel like that's, you know, that. So I was like, we could either talk technology or we can have fun. And I felt like that's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to go out there and we're going to have fun.
I think we should do a talk that is all about, like, injecting fun into your workspace.
Exactly. If we can motivate people.
Having
you know?
Fun with Carolyn and Joe.
Who knows? This might be insane. Like, if all of a sudden our talk here at the GB Expo, because it's going to be recorded and I'm probably going to record a bootleg or all, it's going to be everywhere. It's a lot of people. It's, like, literally a lot of people. That was, like, when I spoke there, it was the most people I've ever spoken to ever. When I was in that room.
Like thousands?
It's not thousands, but it's
hundreds.
It's a pretty big, from what I saw, it was a pretty big room. It was pretty packed. You know, and I felt like we're up early. So
now, are we gonna like have slides or anything?
Yeah,
or
we can have visuals. That? We can bring visuals in there. Yeah. So
you had slides last time, right?
Well, I just had like pretty
you
much
just
a,
had,
I
like
had
a
I had a 15
montage going.
Yeah,
on.
I had like a 15 minute video and photo slides happening behind me. So people can just watch that while I rabble on.
Now, do you think that we should just have something like that going on, or do you think that we should take people through the presentation click by click?
I think it'd be nice if it was click by click, you know, so we have control over it. Because I'd like to, it'd be cool if we can do something where...
Do they have a little controller?
Yeah.
They can have like how I had at University of Maryland?
Yeah, they have a controller. So it'd be cool because like I feel like that brings a surprise element to what happens. And then we can be like, and then blah, 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 bam! You know, and it shows something. And also we have... It's crazy because, like, we're playing off of each other, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be awesome if literally we can do the radio show part where you're like, oh, my name's Joe, and then you run right in. My name's Carolyn. If we could do that intro, that'd be sick. That'd be absolutely... I don't know. I don't really know what to expect. We haven't gone over what we're going to talk. I know we're going to have a lot of fun, and that's what it's going to be, having fun with Carolyn and Joe, you know, in our world domination.
I think we need to, like, motivate people. I think since a lot of the people that are going to be attending this conference are government employees.
Yeah.
And I know, like, having worked, like, I guess, contract, you know, work with the government, I just feel like a lot of times, you know, even if the project is somewhat fun, it's just, like, the subject matter can be really boring. Just because it's, like, government stuff. I mean, it's not, like, you can just... really have your own free reign and go nuts with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have certain things that... It's almost like they don't want you to have fun sometimes with the government projects.
Yeah, because, you know, they always have to bring on a front of, like, we gotta be serious.
Yeah.
This is the government. Chill out.
But in reality, like, there are ways to inject fun into government projects.
Yeah.
It's just you have to find the proper loophole and you have to... also be working with certain people that are open to fresh ideas. I think, like, sometimes when you're working with people that might have an older mindset, they are not as open to, like, expanding and creating new stuff. They're only, like, familiar with, like, a certain type of look. You know, it's like they have only seen, like, a certain type of brochure. And then if you, like, fold it another way, they're like, oh, that's not a brochure now. You know, stuff like that. It's, you know, they might have only seen, like a trifold brochure or something, you know, they might not have seen die cuts or
because
varnish.
It's the government, you know.
I mean, sometimes, like, you know, it's kind of amazing, like, government budgets. It depends on, you know, what agency you're working for, but you'll be amazed, like, sometimes they might have, like, massive budgets and sometimes they might not. So I just think that I don't know how the inner workings of all that works, but or sometimes they might just want to do, like, a basic brochure that they can print in-house. You know, they might not even want it to have bleeds at that point. So it's like, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is that there are ways to have fun with the projects. So I think that we can maybe talk about stuff like that. And maybe a couple, maybe we can have like a list of like different techniques that you could have to make your project more fun.
Either way. It'll be fun.
Either way.
Because I doubt people will want to go there looking for like work. I just want to go out there and just inspire, be profound, That's really the only thing I want to go.
But if you're talking about, like, our own work, there's one thing, like, I always felt when I was being, I don't know how to word it, but when I was, like, a designer at one point that I felt like I was being held back, maybe, like, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's only like, so much you can do, and then, like, people keep saying no, 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 all over your face, you know, and it's almost like at that point it's like, well, they're not letting me do anything. And it's not like I'm trying to make something crazy and make things, like, hot pink on purpose or something like that, you know, like, and just, or just make stuff, like, look like how it shouldn't look. But it's almost like people don't want to take chances and they don't want to really stand out, but that's the whole goal, in a way, is to stand out. But they just want to do stuff that they're familiar with. But it's almost like, at that point, I've been to, like, a few presentations. Like, I would be kind of, like, down on creativity and be like, oh my gosh, my job doesn't really allow me to do anything. And then I would try to be inspired, and I'd go to, like, a few presentations. And some of them are really good, but then some of them would just be, like, people that are, like, showing their work that you could have seen on their own website.
I mean, I guarantee then, that's pretty much, there's going to be a lot of that happening.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, like, yeah, that's good for you because you have that freedom. Like, you know, for example, like, I went to a few presentations by, like, I guess, well-known people or people that, like, had their own show on, like, Home and Garden Network or, what, you know, HGTV or something. And then, like, they're like, oh, you can design anything. And, like, ha, 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 you know, like I'd made this marble room for my client. You know, it's just, like, these outrageous projects that, like, yeah, you never know, it could happen. But in reality, like, either people don't have the budget for it or they don't want, like, a marble room with gold, whatever, tiles or something. But, like, it's, like, I would sit there and watch their project and try to be inspired and watch their whole presentation. But in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm not really getting anything out of this. It's just, like, they're showing me, like, their jolly old work. But they didn't really give tips on, like, how to get out of, like, your own funk. So I would just feel like we need to provide, like, in addition to showing what we do so that people can become familiar with us, I feel like people want to, like, go home with, like, a couple nuggets of, like, information, even if it's just, like, two sentences that help them get through, like, the next day.
Because that's the one thing, when I spoke last year, you know, I you know, in all honesty, I came in there and I just freestyled as best as I could. And, like, really the most honest thing, I started speaking just honest, and that's when the pool of my whole entire talk came together. And I broke apart the piece of, like, someone a couple years ago told me, like, I do so many things. I do, like, oh, you edit, oh, you draw, you write, you do it all. You're a jack of all trades. And then that's how I started out. I was like, well, I was told, you know, I asked the audience, I was like, well, what's, you know, a person being jack of all trades? What's the answer? What's usually the other half of that? And everyone's all like, master of none. And, like, to me, that, like, that was, like, the springboard of my whole entire talk last year was, like, I was really offended by someone being like, oh, but you're the master of none. I was like, well, how does that make sense? What is the one thing I can be a master of that makes me still the jack of all trades? And I flipped it over and I was like, well, everything I do involves telling a story. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I can be a master storyteller, you know, and that's how it came about. I was like, a master storyteller should be able to utilize all those tools to tell that story that you want to do. You know what I mean?
The people that say master of none to that question,
that really makes me annoyed when people say that. It makes me want to punch them in the face.
I feel like a lot of times
it's like, oh, you're a master of none.
They are people that want to only focus on a specialty.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I'm just using some filmmaking example. Like, they could be a filmmaker. They could know how to edit. They could know how to shoot something on a camera. But then they choose to focus on, like, motion graphics.
Yeah.
And, like, that's their big deal. And they might be actually really amazing at motion graphics. But in reality, they can also film, you know, shoot photos. Like, it all kind of overlaps to a certain extent. But if they want to, like, really focus in on, I guess, having a specialty, like, it could be any of those genres that I mentioned. But at the same time, they all overlap. So I don't understand why you can't be, like, filmmaker and be motion graphics artist.
Well, I mean, again, filmmaker, you know, like, is something that envelops all of it.
Or,
but like,
or
to
for
me,
example, like Robert Rodriguez, in my eyes, he is like master of everything.
Or
like,
or Steven Soderbergh.
Does he do music too?
Yeah. Steven Soderbergh.
See, I'm not as familiar.
They all came out of the same Sundance area, but to me, there's the mixture of like, well, you have Steven Soderbergh, and then you have Robert Rodriguez.
Steven Soderbergh, the one that had the movie with the porn star?
He did Traffic. Aaron Brockovich.
Wait, which is the one that I'm thinking
Ocean's
of?
Ocean's
11.
Yeah, the Girlfriend Experience. He did that.
Yeah, the Girlfriend Experience.
He's now
did
like
Did you
a,
see that?
Yeah. He's now a front runner. He uses red cams all the
look,
time.
Look, it's back.
Stickman is back.
Stickman. We thought we'd never see him again.
he's dancing on a box.
And then there's like another one that's upside
like
down.
He's like doing the electrics. Aww.
Oh, he went away.
He just wanted to say hi for this radio show.
but we thought we'd never see him again. He came back.
He came back. But like...
We need to take a screenshot.
But see, for me, like, I don't know, just when I heard someone utilize that phrase... When it's like, oh, jack of all trades, master of none. I was like, to me, when they added master of none to that, because I've heard of jack of all trades before, and I was like, oh, cool, that's used as a positive. But then
Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, but then when they added like master of none, that felt like such an asshole thing.
Well,
for
like
someone
I said,
to
it's
say.
Somebody that wants to be a specialist.
No, it's someone that wants to. It's to me, it's
or
not,
they want to like acknowledge that you're talented in many areas,
but you're
then,
not good enough.
But then they're
you're
like,
not the
oh,
best.
Well, you're not the number one in any of those areas.
But it's like, at the end of the day, how the fuck do they know? Look at Orson Welles.
It's like a
look
backhanded compliment.
It is it's not a compliment at all. That's why I was so mad at that. So that was like so once I said that at last year's talk, that just spring loaded. I was like, master of none. That's fucking bullshit. You know, master storyteller now engulfs everything.
It's like
I'll eat up all your technique and be the master of it now.
But it's like a backhanded compliment too, when like you'll see people comment on a couple and then they'll be like, oh, so cute, makes me want to gag in my mouth.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like
it's a compliment that's like, oh, you guys are good together, or like, you know, maybe they're envious of it or something. And then but then they're like, oh, puke. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
what?
It's like, oh, shut the fuck up. I'm going to punch you in your face for saying a comment like that. You think you're trying to be a smartass? You know, but you're trying to be like opaque about it?
It's like acknowledges like something that is positive, but then it just slams it down like a second later.
Because you know what that is? It's obvious jealousy hidden behind today's new sarcasm.
So also like, you know, master of none, I think, is in that range.
That's exactly what it is. That's why it made me so mad that like I needed to make an answer for that.
So Steven Soderbergh is he's not a master of none, but he's a jack of all trades as well.
Well, let me ask you this. Why can't someone be... They're like, oh, no one can be the master of all... That's what they're saying. They're saying saying that, oh, no one can be the master of all that.
There are certain
why
people
can't
that
there be?
Believe that like you will be more successful if you have a specialty. Like, for example,
Because of something
artists,
that's tried, tested, true, right?
Because you know that they came from them. You know, like, for example, like, just as an example, like Tim Burton... When you look at most of his stuff, you're like, oh my gosh, it's Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, no one else could do it. You know, or if someone copied him, it's almost like, oh, that's because you basically ripped off Tim Burton.
Yeah, like when people saw Barry Sonnenfeld, they thought like, oh, it's Tim Burton ripoff.
It's basically like a trademark, you know? And I think like any major artist, like when it gets to that point, it's like they can't draw like anything else. It's just like that's their style.
Yeah.
Or even like I feel like Amanda Conner is like that now. Like I feel like whatever she draws, or there's everyone too, it's not just her, but like I think it's a good thing that you have your style.
Yeah.
But if you ever break away, you know, then people are like, oh, it doesn't look like your stuff, you know. It's kind of a hard position to be in too.
Yeah.
So people like are paying for your style, but then I guess you have to gradually like change it. But like
Cliff Chang changed his style.
He just made it look rougher.
Yeah exactly.
But you can still tell that he drew it, I think.
But that's still a change.
Yeah,
because going from completely smooth to, you know, rough around the edges, that's like a other side.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But like, see, saying master of none, there's no way to make that into a compliment.
No.
That's just some bullshit that someone says when they're like...
Well, they are acknowledging that you're talented, but then they like just trash it like a second later.
Yeah, but those people are also acknowledging that they're jealous and that they're retarded for saying that. Because why would you? Because it's like it's funny when I notice a lot of people saying things when they say something to someone else. It's obvious there's so much in business for themselves. Like how there's no way that there's any positive that can come from that phrase.
Well, I've heard like a good phrase of stuff like that is somebody says like, oh, they're a triple threat.
No, see, you know, that's
something
awesome.
Like that. That's but like, see, oh, you're a songwriter and a triple threat. And a producer. Or
that's
something.
That's a perfect example. There's a positive in that. Master of none. There is no way to spin that into anything positive. You know, there's those phrases like, oh, it makes me want to vomit. Like, there's no way to spin that. It's just retarded. I'm sorry I keep on saying the word retarded, but you know, if the shoe fits, just one of those things that makes me really agitated. You know, it's also at the same point, like, because even we just had that fight, the Manny Pacquiao and the Morales 3, right? And Manny Pacquiao won the fight, but people say he didn't win the fight.
Wait, what happened?
Well, I mean, 12-round decision. People were, you know, Manny Pacquiao won, right? Decision. Unanimous decision that he won. But everyone said that Manny Pacquiao didn't fight the best way he did. It's the old Manny Pacquiao. It's not the Manny Pacquiao they remember. And they said Morales probably, you know, Morales should have won that fight. And that made me think about that. This is like, you know, the Philippines.
Who are these people that are saying that?
These are the Philippines. I group them all as one.
So the Philippines was against their own kind?
Well, they're like, well, this is what I'm trying to say. For me, the way I look at it as sort of from a bystander, it's like, yeah, Manny Pacquiao won. He won the fight. It was a decision. You know, whenever fights go down to decision, it's always sort of like up and down. Like, okay, the judges could vote this way or that way. He won the fight. But it's not good enough for people. You know what I mean? It's sort of like,
they want like him to like really win it, like knockout, so they know for sure.
They want that guaranteed knockout. They want that second round Hatton knockout. But see, at the end of the day, I don't even think that when you see business sense, 2-round knockout, that's 5.5, almost 5 minutes of entertainment compared to 12 rounds.
You got your full entertainment.
It's sort of like that. Well, Manny still won. But it's like, well, he didn't fight the way he... It's like, what else does Manny Pacquiao have to do, man? He already has a million... He has like 60 people living in his house. He's, you know, he's Congress. It's like, he's so many distractions that I'm surprised that a human being can still fight with all those voices in your head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that's like, when he gets in the ring, that's when all the voices go away. But it's like, I feel like looking at the way that people are treating Manny now, it's like, oh, it's a black guy in the sport. He should have lost that or... all that stuff.
Wait, so these are the Filipinos are talking about him like this.
Well, I feel like
anybody.
You know, Filipinos, that's the one thing I was, you know, watching of on the shows and stuff like that. And I feel like it's now come to that point where it's like, what else does
like
Manny
too
have
much of him,
what is Manny supposed to do, man? Manny's out there to entertain. You're not going to go out there and entertain for that. Yeah, I never saw the fight. He might not have been his best. You know what I mean? That's what people are saying. But apparently it was good enough just to win the decision.
A win is a win.
Yeah, I was like, well, he won. It's like, well,
they want the confirmed kill.
Yeah, you want a confirmed kill. It's a sort of tough world. It made me think about the rest of the world. I was like, well, this just like with Apple products. It's just like with anything. It's not going
to
be good enough.
A lot of people want to see like the Bin Laden photos.
Yeah, it's never going to be good enough. Like for these people out there, it's never good enough for anything. How can you... It's like at this point, it's like, yeah, you want to work for people, but there's never going to be good enough for anybody. And that's why at the end of the day, it's like, just freaking worry about yourself.
Yeah. That's something like I'm still trying to get with, like that way of thinking, because you're right. Like, to a certain extent, nothing ever will be good enough for certain people.
Because you can bust your ass working on a
but
project.
But that doesn't mean you have to like settle. It's just like this happy medium of like, if it makes you happy, if you feel like you did a good job and you really worked hard, then like what else can you say? If you won the fight.
Yeah, I mean like...
I mean, you could really work on like any project for forever if you really wanted to. Like a song could never be finished.
Yeah.
And a piece of artwork can never be finished.
And say like you watch like a movie or something like Super 8, like what we're listening to right now. I thought this movie was absolutely fantastic. It was probably my favorite movie of the year. But then people are like, well, it didn't make as money much money as it was supposed to.
It's not E.T.
It's like, what the... it's like, what do you...
It's like, you're never going to beat that.
I was like, did you watch it? Is it awesome? Yeah, it was freaking awesome. It's my favorite movie. But, it didn't break records. It's like, what the fuck? It's never going to... It didn't... It's like, how... Oh,
people's
it's like...
People's expectations are just, like, amazing. Like, I guess it's a good thing to have that type of mindset to really think that it's going to be the best thing ever. But I read like this interview with Matt Groening. He's talking about how he realizes that like he'll never create anything as big as The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But even like when he was working on other stuff after that, it's like, I mean, really, what else can he do? Like if he was just to create something fresh, like, I mean, who knows? Like you never know. Maybe he could, but at the same time, it's like, really? The Simpsons? Like you can't really beat The Simpsons. They have their own postage stamp.
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Who has their own postage stamp? That's not like from stamps.com where you can upload your own photo.
And people are amazed that like The Simpsons are still on. I'm amazed The Simpsons are still on. But it's like, wow, The Simpsons are freaking still on.
And doesn't he have a balloon in the Macy's parade? Yeah, I think they have a Bart balloon.
Yeah, I believe so.
And also, you know what I'm excited about? Speaking of Thanksgiving, speaking also of Tim Burton, who we mentioned earlier in this episode, there's going to be a Tim Burton balloon at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade this year. That's debuting.
I wonder how that's going to look like.
They have images of it online of Tim Burton sketches. And he has it from, like, different, like, I guess three or four different viewpoints. So he just did, like, a pencil and, I guess he did pencil and watercolor sketch. And then they're actually making the balloons. Or one balloon. And it's called B-Boy. And he has, like, this whole backstory about how he's made of balloons. A boy made of balloons.
Wait. So he just designed it. It's not of him.
Yeah, it's not of Tim Burton.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be of Tim Burton.
Oh no,
That's what I thought. You said Tim Burton's gonna be in the parade. I thought like, oh, it's gonna be a flying Tim Burton.
No.
That would have been. That's what how I envisioned it. I thought it was gonna be Tim Burton in the sky. That would have been awesome, man.
I don't know if he would like approve that. I don't think he would like that.
Yeah, but when I was hearing about like the idea of like Tim Burton, I thought it was literally gonna be Tim Burton, like a balloon of Tim Burton, like
design a balloon of yourself.
With his swirly hair.
And that would like, you know what? To me, like people actually, Al Butler asked me because like he knew that that's my goal.
Yeah.
And my goal to have a balloon in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And then he was like, oh, what if it would be you? And like that kind of freaked me out. It's like it's a balloon of myself.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Tim Burton would kind of be like, I don't really want that.
That's what it's I thought. Like,
no,
literally.
But just to clarify, it's not it's a Tim Burton design balloon of the character, original character. It's not.
So it doesn't exist anywhere except in this parade.
Yes. And it's not, like, in Edward Scissorhands, it's not in Frank and Weenie or anything. It's like, an original Tim Burton balloon made specifically for the parade.
And there's never, at this point, like, can you imagine, like, I remember growing up and, one of the first movies I remember watching, like, in school or anything like that was, like, Edward Scissorhands.
You watched that in school?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember watching that in school. That's one of my, like, one of the earliest movies I remember like enjoying, like is surrounded by Tim Burton movies, like Edward Scissorhands, Batman. Batman is like the movie I remember the most out of my youth. It's like the Adam West show, and then Batman the movie, because I remember for some reason I think during one of my birthdays, that movie was playing, like it just came out and that just happened to be playing. Everyone's gonna watch it for my party or something like that, and I was like, wow. And then I realized that's Tim Burton. I remember watching Beetlejuice because one of my best friends, Matt Charles, was really into Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
That was my first Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, like that was like hardcore. Like my youth growing up, like is all Beetlejuice. It's all like, it's weird. It's not by choice, but now I'm really appreciative that it is. It is Tim Burton. Pretty crazy. But I feel like now, like in this day and age, there is no other, like, what other force is coming together, like, as...
Harry Potter.
No, but, like, is that such a stylistic...
No, but Harry Potter, I'd say for the kids that are a generation younger than us, Harry Potter and...
That takes that
like
place.
Like, Twilight.
But it's...
Like, and then as they're older, Twilight, like, that type of, it still has, like, I guess that type of dark,
but
mystical.
It's pretty amazing how, like, growing up for us, it's like, we were allowed to, like, our brains are... our youth is first sampled directly into a Tim Burton world. of Edward Scissorhands, or of like this weird like patterny stuff. That's like that's what my childhood. That's what I thought movies were. And but then, like, me, I just realized that's not what movies are, man.
But for me, it's, like, pretty crazy because on one hand, like, my family totally approved of the movie Beetlejuice. Like, we must have watched that movie a million times.
That's but a lot then, of crazy stuff in Beetlejuice.
Then, yeah, but then the funny thing is, like, I wasn't allowed to watch Nightmare Before Christmas for the longest time. Like, I saw that really late. Like, I think I saw it in college. And I don't even know specifically why. Maybe it was like the title or something. Like, ooh, Nightmare Before Christmas. You know, it just, I don't know why, but it sounds like it's frightening or something. But the whole time I was like, hey, how can this movie be that bad? It's not like Satan worship or something. Like the whole time I was like, there's something odd about this. I'm not allowed to watch it, you know? And like even with Edward Scissorhands, I kind of watched that a little bit later than I should have. Because it's just, like, this guy with, like, claws and stuff. And, like, I don't know. Like, my family wasn't, like, against it or anything. They were just like, oh, that's bad or something. And I don't know. I just never... But the amazing thing is, like, I'm such a huge Tim Burton fan. And I also think it's amazing that, like, my family, like, ate up Beetlejuice. But then the other movies, it's like, oh, I'm not allowed to watch. Makes no sense.
I was just watching today. Ed Wood was on, like, Showtime or one of those things, and I was watching that for a bit, and Ed Wood is one in my top five.
Beetlejuice is in my top five.
But I was watching that, and like I was looking at it, I was like, man, like he tells at that point was telling people don't even tell, like, don't, there's cinema's not even done like that. Like cinema's not like that's before that's practical magic. You know what I mean? Now it's all like you can't freaking walk outside your door without running into CGI, and CGI is hiding all that.
Yeah,
hiding all like the organic or all like the flesh and blood.
I don't like CGI unless it's like Pixar.
And yeah, Tim Burton's now doing up CGI stuff, but style's all there. But I just remember that era, like specifically with Ed Wood and specifically with those moments. You know,
I think we're just living in the CGI world right now. Like, who knows? Maybe something will come back that'll bring it back to the nitty gritty.
I mean, we have like the...
Like Paranormal Activity, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you have that. Also, the Michelle Gondry is doing stuff with practicalness.
But the interesting thing about, like, I guess if Tim Burton, if you're listening to the Carolyn and Joe show, what I want to tell you is that I really was looking forward to Alice in Wonderland, and... Like
highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah, I was just gonna mention that, but like I really hyped myself up for Alice in Wonderland so much. I mean, I like the story, the casting looked like it would be interesting, and you know all the visuals looked really amazing. Like I knew visually it would look great, but I gotta say when I walked out of the movie, like I just really didn't feel anything. Like it didn't really feel like I even watched a movie. Like I was kind of disappointed, and like that hardly ever happens to me.
Well, here,
so I was just like, oh, I didn't connect.
Well, here's the thing where I think Tim Burton to me really shines is his original characters.
Yeah, and I'm going to get to that. Is that on one hand, it's like, yeah, you mentioned it's the highest grossing film was Alice in Wonderland. Also a lot of people actually really liked
it. Yeah, there's a lot of people that really loved that movie.
And it's not just like, oh, it was a good movie. It's people that like really loved it. And like on
except,
one hand,
except for the Avril Lavigne song at the end, no, I don't know.
But you know, like on, I'm just like really, people loved it that much, and like it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's good for them that they liked it, but I just can't feel the connection at all. So on one hand, I'm like, oh, well, so maybe.
What were
the,
you expecting? What did you want? Did you not want it to be in 3D? Did you not want it to be all CGI?
It looked good. There's just like
there was just a detachment for you.
In the story or something, I can't even really point it out, but it just didn't really feel like there was no feeling, no heart, maybe detachment. Yes,
I mean, I guess for me there was a bit of a detachment. Maybe it was like the actress, maybe it was too showcased on this or that. You know, I really enjoyed.
I just like really didn't fall in love with anything in it. You know, like normally if there's a movie, like I'll fall in love with Beetlejuice. I'll fall in love with all the characters in Beetlejuice.
See, that's
you know, even like that little sand snake creature. Remember that little sand guy?
Tim Burton even did Sweeney Todd, which I'm like obsessed with.
Yeah,
like
I would fall in love with all the characters. Like, I want to actually... I guess what it comes down to is I actually want to fall in love with the characters. You know, like even if they're a bad character, I would be like, oh, that's awesome.
Let's go through the list. Like, his first major one. What came out with Beetlejuice? What was that? Edward Scissorhands. Batman. Wait, Batman was after.
Well, also,
somewhere
if you want to go back to the early beginning, Pee-wee.
Well, we're talking about the... Yeah, oh yeah, it did the Pee-wee.
So, I mean, I've fallen enough with Pee-wee. Like, it's just like all of these characters, really, like...
He also did the Planet of the Apes.
I actually haven't seen Planet of the Apes, so I can't comment on that.
Well, I've seen it. It has that detachment as well.
Yeah. I don't know, something about... Even, like, the new movie, I never saw that one of Franco.
Yeah, but that's not Tim Burton.
Yeah, but I guess, like, that whole, what's it called?
Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, the franchise, I'm not really, like, motivated to see.
Well, Tim Burton did Big Fish, did Willy Wonka.
I liked Big Fish a lot. At one point, Big Fish was my favorite Tim Burton movie, but then when I really sit back and think about it, I'm like, I would rather prefer Beetlejuice or Edward Scissorhands.
I stand by Ed Wood. Ed Wood just, like, to me, it speaks...
And we even went to the Tim Burton exhibit at MoMA a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think it's actually in L.A. right now, if that's the exact same show. I'm pretty sure it is. But, like, I just think that Tim Burton, if you're listening, you are an amazing visionary. I think you're really, like, the artist of my generation.
Did you see, remember who he was married to? Was it Jamie Presley? Or, I forgot who it was now. It's that girl. She was in Mars Attacks. She played Elvira. Now I forget what her name is.
I don't think her name is Jamie Presley. Isn't that the girl from My Name is Earl?
That's Jamie King.
Oh.
Forgot her name.
Well, anyway.
But it's impressive, though.
But
he always reminded me of the singer of The Cure.
What I'm saying is that Tim Burton is like, you know, the artist of our generation, and what I really would love to see, I know, like, everyone's probably pressuring him because he made, like, the most money with Alice in Wonderland. So it's like, you know, Hollywood studios are gonna want him to basically, like, Burtonize any, like, fairy tale that's ever been created. So, part of me is, like, also, like, I will have to say with Willy Wonka, I didn't dislike the movie, I didn't think it was horrible, but I will say I prefer the original what's that guy's name? The first Willy Wonka?
I forgot his name.
Like, it's on the tip of my tongue.
I'm not
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
Like, I prefer...
It's not good with names today.
I prefer, like, the Gene Wilder, and even, like, above Johnny Depp. Like, I love Johnny Depp, but I prefer the Gene Wilder just because it's classic. You know, I grew up with that.
There's even a time where people were all like, oh, it's another Johnny Depp and Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, they're
like... people were already like... It's like, what else can they do, man?
Well, that's the
team. It's never good enough for them.
But
I feel like the people who always say that, they weren't even fans of them in the first place.
No.
They just want to make smart
ass
comments.
They just want to make a joke about them, be like, oh yeah, they're in a relationship. It's like, ha ha ha, that's so funny. But it's not even funny. But I guess what I'm getting at is that, like, I just feel like the studios are all, like, all over him, clamoring all over him to try to get him to do, like, every single, like,
why, what's he doing
fairy
next?
Tale. I'm not sure. Well, I guess you did, like, the balloon, but I don't know.
What was his last movie?
Alice in Wonderland?
Was it?
Yeah.
I could have sworn there was something else in between that.
I don't think so. He might have produced... He produced that movie, Nine.
Tim Burton presents Nine.
You know, so I feel like everyone wants him to Burtonize stuff that's already been made, you know? And that's fine, but also
lost my headphones for a second.
I really want him to create new stuff. I feel like he has more stories to tell inside of him, and he needs to reach in to his soul and bring them out. I feel like he has more to say, you know.
He does.
He's working on it right now.
I mean, he's probably always doing that as well. I mean, yeah, the last films he's been doing have all just basically been like remakes and not remakes, just a visual reimagining.
Yeah, it's just Burtonizing, hitting the Burtonize button.
Like everything that he's done, because even Sweeney Todd was already...
She put up the Krill script.
Sweeney Todd was already pre-existing. You know, Willy Wonka is pre-existing. Alice in Wonderland was pre-existing. What else did they do that was pre-existing? Even Batman was pre-existing, so...
Planet of the Apes.
And also, I feel like it's different. Like, these directors...
Mars Attacks?
There's a handful of directors now that I feel like that are like who create like a whole entire world. Now it's just like, oh, shooting style, you know?
Yeah, there's another thing that was said this weekend or recently was that I saw this only on like someone's Facebook update because they were complaining about this.
Was it me?
But no. But apparently the girl that's in Twilight, I don't know her name, Kristen Stewart, she got cast to be Snow White.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know who's directing it. I don't know anything about it. All I know is that somebody had a negative comment about that.
Well, they're always going to have a negative comment about it. They're like, oh, why am I not in it then?
And, like, but part of me was like, okay, cool. But then part of me was like,
okay,
no,
cool.
But like, part of me was like, really? Another remake?
Well, they're going to have two Snow White movies.
What?
Yeah. At the same time.
Wait, isn't there one of Julia Roberts as, like, the queen or something?
Something like that, yeah.
I saw a picture of that in Entertainment
Weekly. It's called
The
Seven Dwarfs or something like that, or...
Is that what that is?
Okay. Something like that. Or Snow. It's going to be called Snow.
Oh my gosh, they have two Snow Whites. See, it's just like Hollywood in general, though. It's like, they need to invest and research, you know, new stuff.
They need to give new original ideas a chance.
I mean, it's almost like they know that, okay, yeah, everyone is familiar with Snow White. And then they can just, like, hijack it to make it, you know, modern or make it more fresh so people will watch it. But, like, I understand, it's basically like when you go to a comic convention. People don't want to, like, necessarily, there's only a small segment of people that will be willing to discover a new character or a new book that they've never read. And then, like, everyone else, though, just wants to see, like, Batman, Superman, whatever, you know, like, known characters. But then that's why, like up-and-coming artists have to draw, like, their interpretation of Batman, even though they've never actually worked on a Batman book before.
Yeah.
Just so that somebody can at least come to their table and be like, yeah.
Look, Batman.
And then they start to look at other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't necessarily like drawing other people's characters, and I'm not trying to make money off of them, but, like, that's why I did, like, the Wonder Woman Day project. Because also, like, it went for a shelter. The money went to a woman's shelter as well. But, I mean, it was a good cause overall. But I feel like also you just have to get your style out there. So it's basically, like, Burtonizing.
Basically.
I mean, like, so I just think that... I understand the thinking behind it. It's like, yeah, Hollywood, you know, everyone's familiar with Snow White. So...
I mean, it's easy money.
Yeah, exactly. But Hollywood doesn't want to, like, really dig deep to, like... create a new thing. Like what has been new within the past, like, let's say decade, the past 10 years?
Super 8.
But that hasn't, like, in my... Like, Super 8 is a great movie. But in my eyes, it hasn't reached this phenomenon that, like, you know, is 50 years from now, are people going to remake that movie?
Buffy. Buffy the Vampire
aren't
Slayer.
Aren't they remaking Buffy? I remember reading... Have you heard any updates about that?
I haven't heard any updates, but, you know, it's already been negative going into that.
Yeah, because Joss Whedon isn't involved.
They already remade Teen Wolf on MTV.
See, if I was Joss Whedon...
Just remaking left and right shit. Again,
wouldn't you think
I was already slamming on this subject back when I was hosting Project Rez, when they were remaking Dukes of Hazzard. And doing, you know, making those in the movies.
And that whole thing with the remake of Dukes and Hazzard, I don't even know who was Bo and Luke Duke. All I remember
was,
actually watched it, but all I remember was Jessica Simpson's legs. That's all it is.
It was Johnny Knoxville and the other and what's his face? Sean William Scott, I think.
See, I don't even remember them. All I remember is that Jessica Simpson and her, like, Daisy Dukes.
Yeah. Jessica's only,
and
like,
then
5 foot
and
one,
she
too.
And she had to get, like, super in shape for that. And then she, like...
It's good. That's going to be immortalized,
yeah,
you know?
It is. Did you hear about this? Speaking of getting in super good shape, I wanted to bring this up for you. I posted it on my Tumblr, but I don't know if you saw it. But apparently one of the Victoria's Secret models, the angel, her name is, like, Adriana Lima or something like that?
Yeah, I know that name.
Okay. Well, she's very beautiful, and she, you know, revealed
either that or she looks like an alien.
Well, she revealed
lots of
secret.
people think they look like
maybe
aliens,
she
pretty
is.
Hot then, you know,
maybe she is, but
aliens
they do have to have, like,
the alien features.
They have to attach wings to her.
Yeah,
it's a whole big process that they have to walk the aisle with the wings. But apparently she revealed some inside information about, you know, getting in shape for that show. And I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head, but basically it was starvation.
Pretty much.
Like, she was like, I'm making this up now. Go to my Tumblr to find out
what's your Tumblr
real information. It's Carolyn Bilevsky.
At Tumblr?
Yeah, tumblr.com. Anyway, yeah, she basically, like, from what I remember of the article, she didn't eat solid food for, like, I guess a week before.
Uh-huh, so it's all liquid diet?
Yeah, she was, like, all liquid diet and vitamins or something. And then, you know, this is also in addition to, you know, regular working out a little bit, and I guess... But then, I guess for, like, a couple days, all she did was, like, just drink water.
I mean, if you think about it...
Then she had to weed off the solid food.
But if you think about it, like, that's your business, is looking good.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also, at the same time, it's like, you're gonna be...
They get paid millions, too.
Well, not only that, but also, like, you're gonna be photographed from every other freaking angle. So it's sort of like, well, the time is now. You can't slack off in this.
So basically, it's like...
And also, you're expected to be at that such high caliber.
Yeah, it's like she already has to look, like, basically fantastic.
Now, she already looks... It's like, all right, at that level, I feel like you already look good. You've already been the chosen, but you got to be beyond that. Yeah. You know what I mean? You have to be,
but
like,
isn't that amazing, though?
You have to be an untouchable look, at least for those... At least for at least that day.
At least for 2 hours.
Yeah.
They gotta look the best that they've ever been.
You gotta be, like, inhuman, untouchable.
But on one hand, it's like, I understand the business of it. I totally get it. But then on the other hand, though, like, I'm not trying to be like those women that are like, no, that's not how women look. Real women have curves. You know, like, you know how people are like that?
Yeah, those women that can't control themselves.
The women that, like, don't exercise and just sit around like a fat slob.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be arguing for that, but I will say, no person should probably have to, like, be on liquid diet for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but...
you know what I mean? Like, on one hand, it's like, I understand it, and, like, it's pretty much starvation.
Well, I mean...
But it's for a cause. You know, it's for one show.
At the end of the day, a person knows how far they can go, you know? And apparently she thinks that she can take it to that level. I mean, I do get annoyed with girls who are always... I just know women always slamming on women in general. Again, another example of it's never good enough.
The thing is,
it's never good enough.
But I understand, like, it's her job.
Yeah, it's her freaking job.
Like, even though she's getting paid millions of dollars, that's what she is known for.
Yeah.
It's like, why would she eat, like, a bag of Doritos before? You know what I mean?
She can do it afterwards, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a model. That's the model lifestyle, basically,
too. And also, it's like, she already has to look good, but... She's only doing this for a period of time.
Yeah.
And then, like, I bet the next day she's like, okay, let's go get it.
Yeah, let's go let's go to Johnny Rockets or something.
But, like, you know, I guess what I'm saying is that I understand that, but I maybe to twist it instead of, like, a woman-on-woman crime, what I don't appreciate from it is I will turn it around and say certain men that don't know about that, that have no idea what it's like to be a woman and have to have everything perfect... And be on diets and whatever. Like, there's certain guys out there that I'll just say probably are just like, oh, how come every girl doesn't look like this?
Because
there's no way that every woman can look like that.
Again,
I'll just straight up say.
Because, again, those guys are stupid. Those guys, I believe, can't even see true beauty in front of their face. You know, they don't see potential. They just have, it has to be ass. That's why they go to strip clubs, so the ass is in their face, so they can be like, oh, look, that's hot, because it's ass in my face. You know, oh, that must be hot. It's an ass. It's tits in my face. But then if they put a sweater on it, they're like, oh, you should be showing me those tits or else it's not hot. You know, it's like they have to be, the shit has to be handed to them in a platter.
I guess what I'm saying is that with both ways, like, I realize it's a business and, like...
It's not like those guys have a chance at Audrina Lama anyway, so...
Yeah. And I actually really like her as a model. But I'm just saying
She's been going strong for, like, a long-ass time, too. She's, like, one of the last... Or she is pretty much a supermodel status. And
yeah, definitely.
Supermodels have, you know, been out of time, but she is on that top level.
She's like the modern superhero.
So she knows how to work that.
Supermodel. But, like,
I don't know how athletic she is, but
I don't know. But I mean, like, you'd have to be pretty weak if you're just on a liquid diet for a couple weeks.
Because you'd have no protein, I guess vitamins, but...
I mean, at that point, it's like, I mean, she might look good, but I don't know if she can take a pounding. You know what I mean? Like,
take a pounding.
You know, like,
what do you mean,
I don't know if she's, like, physically fit to, you know...
Play volleyball or something?
Yeah. Like, she might, like, lose energy real quick.
She probably does. She needs to be held up.
Yeah.
All she has to really do...
That's, like,
and I know it's hard to do that.
But also it takes a lot of effort
to
walk
difficult.
The aisle.
I know it's difficult for people to do that walk. But once you get that walk down, you gotta remember it's still a fucking walk.
But not many people. But not many people can do it. Let's just be honest.
That's why at the end of the day, that's one of her skills. That's one of her many skills. She's a master at that.
She can wear the clothes well.
that walk is once they master that walk, then they put all the attitude on it. It's pretty impressive.
It is.
Not everyone can do that walk.
Exactly. That's why they're getting paid big bucks.
But when everyone looks at it, they're like, oh, it's just a walk. It is just a walk. Once you get it, you know. And that's our show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Liquid diets. Not good enough. I hope you enjoyed the subject matter that we bring to you every week. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn. And Tim Burton.
And Tim Burton.
Call me.
AstrayProductions.com, curls-studio.com. November 30th, GV Expo, Final Cut User Group will be there speaking. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios.
Stay positive.